It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using hashtag ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. Dr. Daria here, and I'm going to be answering real ShareCare users' questions on all things health and wellness. First off is Mimi from Iowa, and she asks, do childhood earaches cause hearing loss later in life? Now, Mimi, this is a really good question, and it's important to distinguish earaches from ear infections and ear infections that are not treated. So an earache, an ear infection itself, or even an earache, won't necessarily lead to hearing loss, but an earache but an ear infection that is not treated may. So if you think your child may have an ear infection, take them to see the pediatrician. And if it's a bacterial ear infection, they'll need antibiotics to avoid those complications. Now, complications can include perforation, spread of infection, and as you ask, hearing loss, which is why it's so important if they do have a bacterial infection to get them there and get them started on antibiotics. Shelby from South Carolina asked, I'm trying a vegetarian diet. How can I get all the protein I need? And Shelby, I'm really glad you asked because vegetarian diets can vary hugely depending on the dietary choices that people make. There's the strictest, which is vegan, and that avoids all milk, dairy products, and eggs, in addition to any animal products. So it's really important if you're going vegetarian to pay attention to the nutrients that you're getting into your body. But it's also important to know that studies have shown that people on a vegetarian diet may have a lower risk of obesity, heart disease, hypertension, and diabetes type 2 than people who follow no dietary guidelines at all. Some studies suggest that adding dairy products or milk may be more healthy than going strictly vegan. And so again, it depends on what kind of vegetarian you are. If you exclude animal products altogether, you may have the risk of inadequate vitamin B12, iron, vitamin D, in addition to protein. So pay attention to those other nutrients as well. The U.S. dietary guidelines suggest 2 to 3 servings of 5 ounces of protein-rich foods daily. So if you're going vegetarian, you can get that from non-animal sources, and those include beans, nuts, peas, soy products. Try a cup of lentils, which has around 18 grams of protein per cup, chickpeas, black beans, nut butter, tofu, and quinoa, all of which are great protein sources, low in saturated and trans fats, and can really give you some variety as well. So good luck, Shelby. Next off is Clint from New York, and he wants to know is how soon after a muscle sprain can I start exercising again? So, well, Clint, the correct answer to this really depends on the type of sprain that you have and your level of activity that you had beforehand. And it also, I honestly, as a physician, I base it on your pain level. So after a sprain, I like to advise my patients to rest for a couple of days. Give it a little bit of time. Don't try to re-injure or overwork an area that's already been sprained. I want you to elevate it and ice. And icing sounds simple, but it truly, truly works. It's been used for centuries because it really does work. Decreases the swelling, decreases the inflammation, and that's going to decrease your pain. So once it starts to feel better and you don't have pain just by doing normal things, just by sitting and standing and getting up from chairs and walking, then you can start to exercise slowly. But you first need to be able to make sure you can just do regular things well. And then you can start with gentle exercises such as like a band to strengthen the area or low impact. No, and also, let's step back. And I also like people to look at why they sprained something in the first place. So, for instance, you injured your knee. Is that because the muscles around the joint are weak? That's a problem that many women have. The muscles or quadricep muscles can be weak, are not supporting that knee, and it's going to make them at higher risk of injuring their knee in the first place and again. If that's the case, they can benefit either for some physical therapy or work with a trainer to make sure that they are exercising all of their muscles and really creating that core support that we need to be able to not just exercise, but function and be pain-free in our lives. So remember, Clint, listen to your body, and there's no one date by which I can say you can exercise. If you have pain, stop, go back, let it heal. Tina from Florida said, are there any vitamins or supplements that can help my vision? So, for one, it's important to note a healthy diet overall has been shown to promote not just heart health, not reducing just your risk of stroke, but healthy eyes as well. So, reason number 742 to maintain that healthy diet in general. You know, supplements of certain kinds can help to reduce the progression of age-related macular degeneration, which is a major cause of vision loss in older adults. The combination of minerals and vitamins that's been shown to be helpful includes vitamin C, about 500 milligrams, vitamin E, beta-carotene, zinc, and copper. And some studies use that combination and showed a 25% decreased chance of progressing to advanced age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. However, there doesn't seem to be much benefit from other supplements that we've seen in studies, and those include omega-3 fatty acids, lutein, and xanthan. So for different conditions, if say you have chronic dry eyes, however, oral intake of omega-3s and omega-6 fatty acids may improve your symptoms. So it really depends on what condition you're trying to prevent or take care of. But again, let me emphasize, no matter what, getting your vitamins and minerals from your food is always better than getting in supplement form. So again, a reason for which to keep up that healthy diet. Now, we have another viewer from Ohio, and she asked, is it normal for young children to stop taking or needing naps? My 3.5-year-old hasn't taken a nap in quite a while, but he seems to be doing okay. Children, just as soon as you seem to have their routine down, they change. So, yes, every child is different, but let's look at what's typical. Most children ages 2 to 3 need about 1 hour of nap time during the day, and then by the time they're 3 to 4, they often drop that nap, too. But again, every child has their own needs. So in addition to looking at the averages for their age and trying to compare your child just to the numbers on a chart, look at your child's own behavior, and that's the most important. Is he cranky in the afternoon? Or is he falling asleep at night perhaps earlier than you would want, or not ready to fall asleep at night? You know, if he is falling asleep earlier at night or is cranky, he may need that afternoon nap. On the other hand, if he's happy during the afternoon, falls asleep nicely at night, you're probably fine, and why mess with a good thing? Another trick, if you think your child does need a little bit of rest, just try some quiet time in the afternoon. If he's absolutely refusing that nap, but you think he's a little tired, try some quiet time sitting on the bed, reading a story together, and kind of make it some special time you have together. Sometimes he'll even fall asleep, in which you get your afternoon nap. Other times he'll just get a little bit of a respite from the day and be rested to kick back in for the rest of the afternoon. Another listener from Tennessee said, if my teen is hit in the head hard, at what point should they go to the ER instead of just going to their primary care doctor? Now, the main reason you'd want to go to the ER is if you are concerned that your child may have a traumatic injury to their brain, and that includes a bleed in their brain, a fractured skull, or something like that. So how do you know? What are some things I want everybody to look for? I want them to look for loss of consciousness. If your child blacked out, even if it's just briefly, that's a red flag. If they have any amnesia, like they don't remember what happened, a good trick to ask if your child wasn't playing sports and just say, hey, what was the play that happened that you were in just before you got hit? What was that play on the football field or whatever you were doing? If they can't remember that, that's a sign of amnesia. And important to ask that because often teenagers may try to mask what they're feeling. Check if they seem to be a little bit confused. If they have a headache, especially if it's a significant headache. And then other red flags include vomiting, seizures, and of course, any signs of swelling or indentation to their head. You know, another rule I just tell parents, the best sign is your gut. If you as a parent say, the child just isn't seeming right to me, bring them in. Don't forget, if they have any of the symptoms above, it's imperative also not that they just get evaluated, but that they don't participate in sports or activities until they've been evaluated by a medical professional. Lastly, one of our viewers from Oregon said, what alternative therapies can be used to treat a migraine? Now, there are some alternative therapies that can be beneficial. One supplement, Butterbur, has been found to prevent migraines. Feverfew is another supplement you may have heard of, but the evidence is really conflicting as to whether this helps or not. And there's some other patients who may benefit from magnesium and riboflavin, two other vitamins. And remember, these supplements are not regulated by the FDA, so make sure that when you're buying them from a reputable place and discuss them with your doctor. Some other alternative therapies that I like that are promising even include the use of acupuncture, which may be effective for some migraine sufferers, and the use of biofeedback to control tension and pain. Just a plug for anybody, there's a really great book out there called The Migraine Solution by Dr. Paul Rizzoli and Elizabeth Loader. You can check out. They're both neurologists and talk about some alternative therapies. That's all the time we have for today. I'll be back next week to answer more of your questions. And in the meantime, feel free to tweet your health questions to our Twitter at ShareCareNow using the hashtag ShareCareRadio. Question could get answered on the air. This is Dr. Daria, and I want to thank you for listening to ShareCare Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thank you for listening, and stay well.